As we begin today, as is our custom, I would like to read a section for us from the sacred scriptures. I'd like to read a passage from St. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. And I'm reading this from the New English Bible because of its the particular nuances that it uses in its translation. I think some of the people who have read Total Woman book, and I trust all of you have, may understand why I'm reading this passage. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your husband as to the Lord. For the man is the head of the woman, just as Christ also is the head of the church. Christ is, indeed, the Savior of the body. But just as the church is subject to Christ, so must women be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, to consecrate it, cleansing it by water and word, so that he might present the church to himself, all glorious, with no stain or wrinkle or anything of the sort, but holy and without blemish. In the same way, men also are bound to love their wives as they love their own bodies. In loving his wife, a man loves himself, for no one ever hated his own body. On the contrary, he provides and cares for it. And that is how Christ treats the church, because it is his body, of which we are living parts. Thus it is that, in the words of Scripture, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become a single body. It is a great truth that is hidden here. I, for my part, refer it to Christ and to the church, but it applies also individually. Each of you must love his wife as his very self, and the woman must see to it that she pays her husband all respect. Shall we pray? O God, our Father, we thank you again for the riches of your word, that word which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that word which is a living and active word, which pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, that word which speaks so wondrously of your love for us in Jesus Christ, that word which assures us that we are yours, that you have marked us to be your own, even from the ages of eternity. We thank you for that magnificent disclosure of love in Jesus Christ, his willingness to give himself for us, his body, his bride. Be with us this day, Heavenly Father. Grant to us that our lives might be enriched because of being here. And especially we ask a full measure of your blessing upon each of these who share of their wisdom with us. Grant that your Spirit will guide us all, and because of gathering together, we might better know your will and better be equipped to do it. We ask this blessing in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We are desperately going to attempt, in spite of the imposing circumstances under which we labor today, to be as informal as possible. I don't think I have much of a formal body in my bones, huh? But maybe surroundings might stultify something of the spontaneity that we would ordinarily have. Let's try to forget the context of learning here and focus upon what we're attempting to get at, namely an understanding of the total woman movement, some of the fantastic insights that we can gain therefrom. And I think in view of the fact that I first spoke with Mary Lou, maybe I could pass the buck to her, and then she can pass it in whatever direction she wants, and we'll see what happens after that. And I hope that we'll all feel very intimately involved and very free at any time to ask and to answer questions. And if they don't have any, I've got about 50,000 of them myself.
Good.
No, only 20,000.
Well, maybe since you've passed the buck to me, I'll just pass it right on to my husband.
Good. Is he the head of the house? Yes. Sure, it's good.
You asked us to tell our, you know, just kind of a personal testimony of what it had been it meant in our lives. So why don't you start? Or should I?
How did I end up in this position?
You really got roped.
I guess our involvement in Total Woman began when she got the book from a Bible study that she was leading and read it and put it down, and I read it, and then she decided she'd better read it again, and then she took the course from Marcia, and that's how we met Marcia. And after she read the book and had the course from Marcia, Marcia was such a good teacher that Mary Lou applied all the principles, or most of them, and I thought that it would be a good idea for her to become a teacher too, and Mary Lou at that point in time decided that it wasn't a good idea, but I was adamant about it. I called Maribel and asked her what had to be done, and the long and the short of it was we went to Florida and met with Maribel Morgan, and my wife became a teacher. Both of us have found a great deal of excitement in the Total Woman program, and it's enriched our lives. I suppose that I could become specific, but I don't want to tie up the whole meeting just talking. It has worked for us. I don't think anyone, including Maribel, would say that it will be exactly what everybody wants or that everything in it is what everybody wants. But it has some very basic concepts, which I believe have helped us in our relationship, and I think that it helps a lot of women who are out there searching for something to spark up and add some depth to their marriage.
Thank you. I think one of the things that I dare say most of the people present today would be interested in would be... some of them, let's put it this way, some of them I think probably don't know very much about it. I think it may well be that some have not read the book. I know one or two as they walked into the building today said that they were sorry they didn't have the time to read it. They meant to over the weekend or something. And it does read very easily, but if you've got six children hanging on and you've been to church morning and evening and afternoon or something like that, you might... fail to have your hopes and expectations realized with regard to reading even so interesting a volume as this. So don't hesitate to be at all specific, George, or I'm almost called you Mary Bell, Mary Lou, if you want to continue or take it from there.
I'm going to pass the buck to Chuck and Marcia.
Marcia, you're the beginning teacher, aren't you? So maybe you could take over. And I think Chuck, as a total husband, said you should. So I think that might be just about a mandate.
I guess I'll follow George's lead and tell you how we got involved in Total Woman too. And are our voices carrying all right back there? Are they? Usually when we're in a crowd this large, I've got a microphone in front of me, so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
We met Maribel at a pro athletes conference in Chicago about 2 years ago, and she had a woman's luncheon for the wives and was talking about Total Woman principles. And about that time, I had begun applying some of the principles that she was espousing in our marriage, but not in a systematic plan that she's put down in her book. And I realized that they did work, and I wanted to try the other ones that she was talking about at that luncheon. And she was also, at the same time, saying, if anyone's interested in becoming a teacher, please see me afterward. And I did, and that's how I became involved. She talked about all the requirements for a teacher. I think that if we can be a little bit specific, for those of you that have read the book, it covers such things as communication with your husband and children and child rearing and discipline, sex, and naturally the spiritual part. The very first, I think, and most important part, a turnaround in my life when Chuck and I got married, was spiritually. And this was where my husband and also Total Woman helped, because Christ is just the basis of our marriage. If he weren't, me being the egocentric person that I am, it would totally fall apart, totally disintegrate, because I am just very selfish and tend to want things my way all the time. Then with communication, again, I think Total Woman has really helped us here, because I would tend to say the very first thing that came to my mind, like, why'd you do that? Or things like this. And that's really not conducive to a good atmosphere at home. Why'd you do that? Snippy things like that. It's really teaching me to be a lot more patient. In every class I teach, it's funny, but I think I get as much out of it as the girls do. I feel like I work right along with them in doing the assignments, and that's where you really see it. When the girls do the assignments that are mentioned in the book and in the course, that's where they see changes in their lives and in their marriages. And finally, I should say that sexually our marriage certainly has improved because of Total Woman.
Thank you, Chuck. Have you worked up enough courage to speak to this body?
It's really hard for me to speak about Total Woman, because I'm a man, and it's a book oriented specifically for the women. But as far as their outreach in the marriage and getting things started, my first thought comes, it's so great to be here, because I see a good friend out here, and it's really, really great to see Coach Peterson. It really makes me feel at home right away, because we've known each other for so many years, and he knew me before I was married, and I don't know if he knew I was a different kind of guy then or than I am now. And I really think, first of all, what I can look at a Total Woman and what I see as a, we've been married about 4 years, how it's affected our marriage. Well, I think the first way, the biggest way, is that we went out of our way more to concentrate on what would make our marriage better. In other words, we put an effort into it, rather than just see what, just let marriage go on and on every day, and get up every morning and go to bed every night, and the marriage just is going on just as a matter of course. I think what it did is brought out specific ways of helping our marriage. I guess that's a big thing. And the number one way was the fact that we could share together things that were really personal. And I think Maribel brings this out really well. The number one thing is the spiritual side, and how we can, it's not wrong to feel bad about your spiritual life or good about it. In other words, we all, if you have a feeling about, that, for instance, we're not praying, about specific needs in our family life, we'll sit down and talk about it and then do something about it. If we feel that, sexually, that there's a adjustment has to be made, well, we'll talk about it rather than just kind of go through the day. What Maribel's done is brought out points that are, that are part of the marriage. We just never been written down clearly as such that I've ever seen. and the I got to know the 4A's pretty well as she brings them out. You kind of you don't really unaware. Say, am I adapting or to the situation? They just kind of become part of your marriage. And again, I think in a Christian marriage, they're a part of it. But it's nice to have written down. Nice to say, well, these are it kind of makes you clears your mind up. And says, well, they're written down in here, and this is what's been part of our marriage. But we can enhance it by really getting into it with these points. That Maribel's brought out. And I've just seen so many of the marriages. I'm sure George hears Mary Lou when she comes home talking about the marriages that have been helped by it. It's just fantastic, these comments that are made. So there's some funny comments and some serious ones. And they write cards out after they're done with the course, and they say what the course has done for them. And a lot of marriages have really been mended together by principles brought out in Total Woman.
Thank you. I guess maybe we're back to Mary Lou again.
I'll tell my story. As George said, I was in a Bible study group, and the book was being passed around this group, and I was conveniently ignoring it, just kind of closing my eyes to it. It was sort of a habit in this Bible study group to pass good Christian books around, and everybody would read them, and then they'd eventually get back to the owner 6 months later. But everyone had read Total Woman, everyone except me, that is. And I guess not consciously at the time, but as I look back on it now, I'm pretty sure that the reason I so studiously avoided reading it was that I was pretty sure I'd find some things in there that I needed to put into practice in my own life and some changes that I would need to make in my marriage, and I wasn't too sure I really wanted to do that. We've been married 10.5 years, and we have an 8-year-old little girl and a 5-year-old little girl, and things had gotten pretty drab and dreary in our marriage until Total Woman came along, and I guess the most basic and most important thing that I learned from reading the book and taking the course and applying the principles and was that marriage is work, and that for 8.5 years or so, I had expected to just be able to sit back and, the slogan, if it feels good, do it, and do whatever I felt like doing, and still have a really good marriage. Well, I had discovered that that wasn't happening, and I didn't quite know why, and I didn't know what to do about it, really. And as has been said before, Total Woman puts it down in black and white. A lot of women say to me, well, I've heard that all my life. That's nothing new. And they get a little bit insulted because I guess they think that we're trying to tell them something brand new that no one's ever heard before or no one's ever thought of before. But that's not really the case at all. And Maribel herself states that it was in her search to make her marriage better that she discovered these principles in books that she read, including the Bible. But it was just the way that it helped me was that it put it down specific things that I could do to make our marriage better. Okay.
Yes, thank you. As I reread the book this weekend, I kind of made some notes in my mind, and I don't know if I'm correct. You correct the teacher if you don't mind. It seemed to me that it was breaking down into 4 basic thrusts. Now, I might be erroneous there, but it seemed to me that if I were setting up the course, I would have 4 sessions or something like that, or 8, I don't know. Are there 4?
Yeah.
Well, there'd be either 4 or 8, and first would have to do with kind of management of time and getting things squared away in your home. Secondly, I guess it would focus on understanding the roles that God has given husband and wife to play within the home. Not that the husband is the master and the wife, the slave idea, but that there are certain roles and that the woman is decidedly to be responsive to her husband as the head of the home. I think that might be the second area. The third one is the sizzling sex section, which I think gets a lot of publicity, but it's only one quarter of the book as I would see it. And the last, and certainly not the least, is communication skills, which would really be a fantastic thing for us to explore this afternoon, and or any of the others. But let me start at the beginning, and I'm going to open it up just a second. I know I always dominate the class. At least I speak at least 10 minutes every 2.5 hour class, and they take notes furiously because this is their moment to get something down on the page. But I was wondering, do you find that the first chapter of the book is foundational to the whole thing? That, in other words, if the woman is just helter-skelter running everywhere at the same time, she can never really get off the ground. Is that why she has it first? Is it foundational and then she builds, or is that just the way she wrote the book? I was wondering about that as I was reading it again yesterday. I was wondering, gee, you know, maybe I have a tape by Maribel that came out. We bought it in the bookstore, and that was one of the things she was making a very decided point of. And how do you, what's your experience from teaching it, or what is, don't, has it?
What do you think? I never really considered that before.
What she lays down four what she calls sound mind principles in the very beginning of the book. She lays down four sound mind principles in the very beginning of the book. Love yourself, don't waste your time, be available to your husband, and do everything for the glory of God. Now, I think the very first one that she starts with, love yourself, is the crux. Total Woman is basically a course in attitudes, I think. When she starts out with this principle of love yourself, God, in order to really love, as Jesus said, your neighbor as yourself, it's first necessary to love yourself. In order to love your husband, it's first necessary to love yourself. In other words, you have to feel that you have some sort of sense of self-worth in order to love any other human being. And intertwined along with that is the fact that you need to feel that God loves you, that He has given you a sense of self-worth, that you're a lovable person. So that is probably the basis, I would say. That's the reason that she started out with that. And yes, she does go on to talk about organization in the a plan for organizing your household. And that way, then you can be available to your husband. And then, if all else fails, then do your work for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I guess it is foundational. If you don't love yourself, you're not very, very much able to love anyone else. Now, anybody have a question? If you do, yes, speak loudly so the mic can pick it up. Greg, go ahead.
The question I had was on the toward the end, and when she talks about the power source. I enjoyed that part of the book very much, but my question was, why does she wait until the very end to supply to give the explanation of what is her motivation, her power source in her life, instead of tying it in with the 4 points at the beginning? Maybe you can clarify that for me, what the relationship is.
I think it is tied in all the way through. I know for sure that we tie it in the course, and really it is tied in the book. There are scripture references throughout the book that she refers to, and she refers to the presence of God in a person's life all the way through the book, as noted by the fourth sound mind principle, to do everything for the glory of God. And it's a gentle bringing it in over and over and over again. And I guess I'm speaking more from the frame of reference of the course in the book, because that's what we do, I find it very effective to bring it in just a little bit at a time. And because of the fact that we have many non-Christians that come to the courses, we find they're not turned off by this. I think if we hit them hard with it the first week, they'd turn around and go home and say, I don't want that, that's religion. And this way, it's a gentle introduction to Jesus Christ. And then at the end, at the very end, we each give our own personal testimonies and our own what our own relationship with Jesus Christ is and how we met him as personal Lord and Savior, and then tell them how they can do it too. And by that time, they're ready to receive it.
I might add one thing to that. Remember in William Glass's Reality Therapy, he talks about developing, and he doesn't use the term rapport, but it's like that. He talks of involvement. And I think that's what Maribel and that's what these young ladies are doing too. They develop a real respect for them. If you just come out the first evening and say, you know, really, your problem is the problem of sin, and you should turn to Jesus Christ, there's no basis upon which they can make that statement yet. They can, from Scripture indeed, but it flows much more naturally out of a life which is respected by others. And the same thought came to me. As a matter of fact, if you hadn't asked it, I would have, to be the devil's advocate, but I think that Mary Lou really answered it the way I thought she would. You develop that involvement, and then what you say is important. Right. Until that point, you're just another person. Mm-hmm. The importance of the human importance of the human personality in God's economy. I think it's, and I doubt if she would have sold the million or more copies, how many has she sold, if she had given her witness at the first page. I think they would have turned her off at that. We get that,
right.
But it's been effective. You can't fight success. I guess you can, but and I guess the criterion is not necessarily does it work, but that's one of the criteria, I think.
And I think too that a lot of women, I'm sure Marcia finds this true too, that a lot of women take the course. A lot of them are curiosity seekers. You know, what's this all about? And I've had women come up to me and say, I just want you to know that I'm taking this course because I don't agree with the book. And you get this kind of a thing, too. People that will come in and they're very antagonistic to start off with. And that's why you have to be gentle with them and kind of lead them and get them to the place where they respect you as a person.
Do you have some rather remarkable transformations spiritually in the lives of these people? Would you say it works from that standpoint? I think that may be what Greg is trying to get at. Does it just sort of suck them in, or is God really using this to win them to Christ?
Marcia?
I feel that it's probably, I don't, and we have never really asked Maribel this question specifically, but I think her point was through a better marriage, realize that God is the builder of success in lives, in marriages. And it's definitely an evangelistic tool. When the very last session, when, as Chuck mentioned, when we pass out these comment cards and ask the girls to specifically state how Total Woman has changed their marriages, pro or con, we also ask them to, if they have accepted or rededicated their lives to Christ that evening when we've talked about the power source, then to mention it on the card. So they do get a chance to either dedicate if they're hearing it for the first time or rededicate their lives.
And numbers of them do?
Yeah.
Numbers of them do?
Yeah.
I had about seven in a class of about 25 just recently, which I thought was terrific.
It is.
Because that's, The numbers don't run large, but they're consistent. Every class, there's always a few that have never met Christ and are doing it for the first time. And as far as the question you asked about a deeper, I forget how you worded it now. Was it you?
Spiritual transformation.
Transformation.
Yes, yes.
This often comes, too, in people that maybe as children really met Christ, and it was a real experience, but it's so easy to get away and to fall away, and maybe the husband isn't a Christian or whatever the circumstance may be. I've had a number of women that have commented on their cards, my husband and I are going to church together for the first time in 5 years, or just little things like that. My husband is reading the Bible to our children now, and just different things like that. So I think it does make a spiritual transformation in many lives of women that have already received Christ at one time in their lives.
Yes, Ron, and then Jim, and then Tom.
I think so far this book and the many others are quite a testimony to the power of women over men. Because nobody's ever written a total man book on how to transform your marriage as a man. It's always directed at the woman, and then the transformation seems to take place. I don't know if that's just a stage in history we've got that we haven't got any farther, or if that's a fact of life. But what my question is directed to the men. Do you feel that the change that has taken place in your marriage has been totally to the woman? Do you have to address those to the woman, or how much of this can apply to the man? Generally, answer somewhere along those lines, and I'll be happy to answer.
How do you lateral with one of these?
You want to answer it, or you want me to talk?
You got it.
All right. That's a difficult question to answer. It's really a multiple kind of question. First of all, I'm not really sure I would agree that the women have the predominant controlling factor in the change. A philosopher by the name of J. Oliver Buswell, in one of his books, began by saying a beginning is somewhere. And Total Woman approaches the woman because I think a woman has a tendency to be less threatened in her ego than a man does in beginning initial changes. Now, that's an argumentable point, I think, but I think it's true. At least I see it that way. So I also think that women, because they're women, have a tendency to be more sensitive to relationships than a man. A man thinks about things, about jobs and money and vocations and careers. Many times a woman's career is her family, and she's more sensitive to the discord that may be there. So consequently, I think she's just more available, if you want to use that word, to see what can be done in terms of making the change to being the beginning. I would also say probably, and I might run into some flack on this, but I think as the scripture lays out the responsibilities of the husband and the husband is to be the initiator, the wife is to be the responder. In some instances, a husband who initiates without response because the marriage has gotten into discord ceases to initiate. This positive reinforcement, if you want to call it, has died. As the woman comes back into the picture with positive reinforcement, whether she meets her husband at the door in saran wrap or whether she just happens to begin to try to open the doors of communication by being positive in her responses to him, the husband then begins to fulfill his responsibilities again in initiating. Now, I'm not saying that the husband is outside the realm of responsibility. I'm saying that as it breaks down, we have a situation in which I think women, because of their sensitivity, are more directed at trying to start, get things rolling again. Maybe that's to our detriment as men. Does that answer your question? I feel like I'm rambling now, and I want to...
Well, I would say that I've done a lot of, through Fellowship of Christian Athletes, spoken to a lot of men's groups, just men, well, young men mostly, and college age, and really I've never really spoken about marriage, and a lot of people I've spoken to have been married men. Also, I think that a man has a, I don't know, somehow just kind of avoided the fact that we are responsible in marriages as a leader. And I agree that I think there should be some work done in that area as far as helping men in the marriages. And I wouldn't mind taking a course myself on Total Man, if there were one. Because I've seen what it is done one way for the woman, from the woman's side, and for us together. But there was a fellow I knew that when his wife taught the course to the women, he took a group of men and had written down some principles on what would be successful for from the men's side, initiating the principles of the Bible proclaims about a man's responsibilities. From the men's side in marriage, and I never did talk to him about how it went off, but I agree there haven't been, and I think that the women through something like Maribel's book just used the Bible and presented it, and I think there should be something for the men too.
Doesn't she say that if the woman is a total woman, that she'll make a total man out of him, or something like that? I think that's the standpoint from which she works. I'd say that it hasn't done a bad job from what we've been observing thus far this afternoon. Then I think Jim was next.
I guess in the sense you kind of answered the question, although I still register a little bit of a misgiving, in the sense that it seems as though from the book and from other kinds of material, I mean, this isn't just the only one, how crucial the woman is in the marriage, that it's either made or broken with her. It almost seems as though from these kinds of books that if she doesn't respond to the man, it falls apart. And if she doesn't encourage him, the marriage falls apart. And it almost seems so one-sided that you almost wonder, well, does the man really have that much place, or is he a victim of circumstance? And, I guess this is kind of a concern that I have in this kind of a thing, where, does the man really have that much part in the making and the keeping of that marriage? Or is it just solely upon the shoulders of the woman? I don't know if you'd like to address yourself.
I just had one thought on that. I really think that either one of them, the responsibility, well, if Marcia's fired up about, this, our marriage, it helps me, sure. That's exciting when she's excited about it. But I think I think it takes me and she with Christ, in it. In other words, if she's fired up and has the Lord with her, particularly that day, she's really in fellowship, and then I come along and I'm not in fellowship, some of we have those days we kind of fall down, it's tough for me, but she'll pick me up. In the same way, if I'm fired up, I'm close to the Lord that day, and I think it all gets back to your, how you're tuned in with Christ, and no matter which one of the two is, I really think that it gets right back to that point. And that's a real good question, too. What is your relationship with Christ at the time, in relation to her, her relationship? That's just what came to my mind.
I think what you're getting at, and what Chuck was responding to also, was once somebody has to make a start, and Maryville's appealing to the woman in this case because she was the one that made the start in her home.
Tom, then Paul, and Terry. Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to try to pick up on the same thing too. Maybe you women can address yourselves. Especially, I think it's the second part of the book where you're getting into the role. Maribel comes up almost a submissiveness type, even though she says it's not. I still see that because the woman has to play on the ego of the man and play down to him. And like you were saying, you feel good about that and then you play back to her. But one point that she brings out is that if there's a conflict, and if you know your husband is wrong, and yet you still have to submit to him as the head of the household, I think communication is breaking down here. Do you feel what I'm going at? I don't think there's really communication here. I think it's all submissiveness on the part of the wife to the husband. She, like to point out, you know, build up his ego first, and maybe he'll go along with whatever you want to do. I think it's all one-way street, you know, the wife leaning toward the husband.
There's definite points in the book and in the course where we explain to the women under the section in communication that they should be sure to tell their husbands how they feel about any particular given situation. The principle in Ephesians of speak the truth in love, letting him know that you're not for the plan particularly, but that you are for the man, explaining how you feel. It's all through it, the book and the course, that the woman has a responsibility to her husband to make her wishes and her desires known to her husband. She's not to just lay down and let him walk on her when she doesn't agree with what he's doing or what he says. But it's the same principle in life everywhere. There will be times when a man and a woman reach a stalemate, and somebody has to make the final decision, or they go through life in that stalemate, which is pretty miserable. And this is where Maribel says, and we believe that the scripture says, that the man should have the final say. But that's not to say that his wife hasn't told him how she feels about the situation. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I was wondering if you know your husband is totally wrong, and she said like a conflict, yet you submit to the will of the husband.
Yeah, but it's my opinion that he's wrong. Maybe according to him, he's right. Obviously he is, or he wouldn't be doing what he's doing. And then I have the responsibility and the privilege of trusting God for his decision, no matter how wrong I think it may be. We had an example in our own marriage in this last year. He came home from work one day and announced we were going to Florida on our vacation, and I said, "Where? What?" So, you know, did somebody just leave us $1,000 or something like that? And I just was bowled over by the whole situation, and I thought it was ridiculous. And yet I had to trust God for that decision in his life. And if it hadn't been for the decision that he made, I wouldn't be here today, because that was when I met Maribel and so on. But, you know, that's just an example. Would you like to address yourself to it? He said he'd like to hear from both of us.
Well, I think really Mary Lou mentioned the key when she said that, you know, when two people have a difference of opinion, that's exactly what it is, a difference of opinion. And it's, is he right versus am I right? And he can be just, and if he makes a decision that I feel is wrong, it could be just as correct for that particular circumstances as mine would have been. And again, it comes back to trust. Am I willing to trust him enough to go along with him? If I'm always wanting to take my way, then I feel I'm always correct. And there again, that's going against a lot of biblical principles, one of which is judging. I'm judging him.
But is there a give and take that he gives into you when sometimes you feel you're right and he says he's right?
Mm-hmm. There is, yeah. It's not always, well, he says one thing and I say another, because in the majority of times we're in harmony, I feel, with what our with what it is we're trying to work out. And we, through communication, we arrive at a solution. But then, if there has to be some kind of final decision, some kind of closure to the issue, and he does have the final say. I may not like it all the time. I may not always agree with it, but...
I take it that a total woman is not a doormat, is that right? And I think Maribel puts it pretty well when she says, a total woman is a person in her own right. She has a sense of personal security and self-respect. She is not afraid to be herself. I think that was pretty well said. Paul was the next one, I think.
Yeah, I was just wondering, I didn't see any mention of it in the book. Can a wife work and not be the home, the housewife who, I mean, is that legal in this program? For, like, for the wife isn't always able to get home every, maybe 4 days a week to prepare the meal, you know, and so the husband has to meet the wife at the door, you know, how that works, but is that okay?
Well, Marcia and I are both working wives. We're both, and I'd like to answer that question in about a year, because I'm going to be going to work. My husband is going. Can I tell him?
You started now.
Would you like to tell him?
No, go ahead.
He's going to be quitting his job in about a month and going to seminary, and I will be working full time and teaching too. I hope so. We have a lot of hints that we pass out for the working wife and helps for the working wife. And definitely it can work for her just as well, I feel. It may be a little more difficult than it. There may have to be a little greater effort on her part. She doesn't have the number of hours in the day, you know.
Would you like to add or subtract?
I think the working wives, our classes probably run about 50-50, mm-hmm. working wives and non-working wives. We just simply ask that the girl look at her priorities, what's most important to her, and therefore what does she need naturally. She has to spend 8 hours a day or however much time she works at her job, and then how much time does she need to devote to her family. So if a girl has priorities in order, then certainly she can work as many hours as her husband, and the marriage will still work the same way.
Terry?
Kind of what Paul mentioned before, when you teach a course, do you have any problems with people who do not have the same spiritual foundation you have, or also come in with the woman's live aspect and still try to, you know, apply this to a marriage, like say they're atheists, you know, and don't go along with the Christian foundation of the males have your husband be head of you and so forth, as he is head of Christ, is the head of the church and so forth. Or, you know, the woman's live movement, you know, they marry but they try to balance the two between woman's liberation and trying to have a, you know, a marriage also. And if you do have any people like this in your course, how do you deal with and so forth?
Ever had any women's livers in your home?
Then go on, because I haven't. Not dyed in the wool.
Not dyed in the wool. No. A lot of gals won't come right out and say, I'm a woman's liver, but they still espouse some of the assertiveness and the aggressiveness that, from what I know of women's lib, this is what they believe in. And And I've had many girls, as a matter of fact, just happened to bring some comments from some girls. I think the girls really speak for themselves about the course, because they're the ones putting the principles into practice in their lives. They may not believe it. A lot of these girls have tried some of these things and they haven't believed in it for a minute. But if they see even just a little bit of change or response on their husband's part, then that encourages them to go on and try other things. And a couple of the gals have really gotten hot under the collar, particularly when we talk about adapting. And here's what one girl says. The first two sessions I seem to have left mad, wondering, why should I do this and that and put myself out so much? I wish I'd have had the attitude then that I have now. After the third session, it seemed much clearer to me. And in just 2 weeks' time, I have seen good changes in our marriage. My husband never said anything, but his actions speak louder than any words he could have said. It's great. I hope I have faith and love to continue to keep up the good work. I've got a long way to go. So if they are mad at one point in the four-week session, then hopefully they'll continue on trying the principles that we're espousing in the course. And if they see changes, great.
So I agree correctly. You're saying that, say, a person comes in with very hostile opinions toward the whole concept, but need some help, so they take the course, and after a couple of weeks they see some progress in their marriage, and this kind of induces them to go onward and drop a lot of their, you know, detrimental factors that have been hurting the marriage?
Yes. And basically it results in an attitude change.
What do you do for 2 weeks, could I ask?
We talk about the first week, as I mentioned, the sound mind principles. We're talking about that and some attitude changes in the girl herself. And then the second week is sex.
They wrote after sex?
She wrote this at the end of the fourth week.
I don't know if your program runs totally the same way the book does. Does it?
It isn't.
Not
if it doesn't, could you kind of give a brief sketch of, you know, your class, your four-week class that you have?
I'd like to just say a couple of things about your first question, if I might, about this one woman that I mentioned earlier that said that she was taking the course because she didn't like the book. On her card at the end of the fourth session, she stated that she was afraid she would lose her identity if she took this course, and she said that instead she gained it. And your other question about do we ever have any atheists, or this, I'm sure that they are there. We may not be aware of it. I had a particularly interesting situation just recently in a class. I had one Jewish girl in the class, and I must confess with some trepidation I gave my testimony at the end, because there was an instance that Maribel told about, or I guess we heard it at the conference last summer, where a Jewish girl really got pretty huffy at the end and kind of walked out, I think, or just was really letting her feelings be known, which can be very unnerving, to say the least, especially when you're into that spiritual part. But I had this one Jewish girl in my class, and as I said, I felt somewhat fearful. But had really been praying about it and for her, and she was the only one that received Christ that day, and I thought that was just a really beautiful thing that happened. Now I've hogged the floor, so you can sketch the course for her. Did you notice how I worked that?
You wanted a breakdown of the four-week course?
Could you?
Well, okay, as I mentioned, the first week we're talking about the girl's attitudes herself. Love yourself, be available to your husband, don't waste your time. In other words, how to organize a plan to organize your time so that whether you're working or whether you're just, I shouldn't say just a homemaker, but whether you're working or whether you're a homemaker, you are organized, and then do everything for the glory of God. Also talking about admiring, adapting, appreciating your husband and accepting him as he is. And then the second session is, these sessions overlap, by the way. The second session is sex along with the attitudes. The third session is communication and getting into dealing with children. The fourth session is, again, dealing with children and then talking about Christ.
One more question. How much cost to take a course do you charge? I assume you do.
Mm-hmm. $15. And that, I might give an explanation of that, since that's an often, maybe I, you don't want me to give an explanation. When I talked to Maribel the first time when I met her, she interviewed me to be a teacher, she told me that she argued with the Lord about charging, because she said, you know, this is something that so many women could benefit from. Why should, you know, why make them pay for it? It's, you know, I didn't have to pay for it when I learned it. But she really believes that the Lord impressed on her that if a woman was going to really put it to work and do the assignments and come to all four sessions and just, you know, make it worth something in her life, that she had to charge for it. And it's really kind of interesting, at least from my experience, the people that take the course that are not Christians say nothing about the $15, but Christians just get all upset that they have to fork over. I had one lady come up to me right before my first class, and of course at that time I wasn't too well seasoned in answers, and she said, well, I want to know why I can't just audit this course. <You know? laughs> Why do I have to pay for it? She said, I'm doing all that stuff, and she was about 50 pounds overweight, you know, and she was just trying to get in free. And Maribel's answer to that is, this is not a Bible study. It's a marriage enrichment course, and there are a lot of men that think it's worth $1,000.
Incidentally, there's supposed to be a poster somewhere around our building. If you want to make a plug for that, okay. I haven't seen the poster. I gave it in at the proper place, okay. And it's supposed to be up. But there's the course starting tomorrow?
Right, tomorrow evening at Trinity Lutheran Church in Chesterfield. It's on Clayton Road, near just east of Woods Mill Road at 7:30. And if anybody's interested, or if any of you gals are interested or know someone that's interested, see me afterwards and I'll give you a phone number to call to register. Now, do you have anything coming up to announce?
I'll have one in Normandy coming up probably around the middle of May. No definite date's been set for that yet.
How many teachers are there in the area? While we're on this, we may as well follow through on it. Are you the only two in the St. Louis area?
Yeah.
In the state.
In the state of Missouri? Wow. Well, we're very fortunate then, aren't we, to have the whole staff here. Well, you know, we do things big at Concordia. I mean, we do a big headlines. Have you noticed that late? Yeah, we get headlines. But
I've noticed that.
Well, you know, if you can get headlines for being faithful to the Word of God, I don't mind them.
Amen.
Don't mind them a bit.
Amen.
I saw another hand. Yes, Greg, and Chuck later. Yes.
One of the things that I hear coming to when I read in the book was a real healthy emphasis on communication, interpersonal, interfamily, and. After reading the section on relating to your child and inside the family, I wonder if you could just briefly comment on how you work the section with on children and inter-family conflicts, children, parent-child conflicts.